Why I Canceled Netflix and Will Never Return by Garrett Mullett, published August 26, 2020. When we first signed up for Netflix a decade ago, the service was one of a kind. For a few dollars a month, we could watch on demand any one of hundreds of movies and TV shows. A few clicks of the remote control or a mouse, it felt like magic. However, we have observed increasingly in the past few years that Netflix content is not always edifying. That is perhaps putting things mildly. Until recently, the most egregious example was a Netflix Christmas special in 2019. In The First Temptation of Christ, Jesus was depicted as a homosexual. Many Christians canceled their subscriptions in response. I considered doing likewise and joining the boycott. What gave me pause, however, was the same thought which always gives me pause where boycotts are concerned. If I boycotted Netflix for ridiculing our beliefs about God and Christ, righteousness and sin, where would it end? Would I ever run out of companies to boycott and refuse to use the services of? And was it realistic, not to mention necessary, to only patronize vendors who respected and affirmed my beliefs? I did not feel I had a satisfactory answer to those questions, and being distracted with other matters, we decided to keep our Netflix subscription for the time being. Cancel culture is so tired. Does boycotting not feed into that atrocious trend? I have now turned a corner. Even if unsubscribing to Netflix and encouraging others to do likewise looks like cancel culture, it does not matter. Even if it is cancel culture, I care not. Unlike most recent examples, in this case, it is warranted. Last week was the final straw. Netflix hosted the foreign film Cuties about preteen girls in a twerking dance troupe. I canceled Netflix and will not go back. In recent years, the LGBT movement has grown bored with only promoting homosexuality. For a while, the focus shifted from championing gay marriage to imposing dozens of new pronouns for gender. Now we know that cisgender is the alternative to transgender, and you had better call people whatever they want to be called or else. Transgender rights were the cause du jour for a few years. However, that one seemed to not face so much backlash. The opposition to story time with transvestites and drag queens at libraries and schools was weak. It was confined to gross videos being posted online and passed around as we all expressed our disgust in half whispers where only people who agreed with us could hear. But nothing even close to how marriage equality was organized against and opposed arose to counter. The Supreme Court ruling, which invented gay marriage rights whole cloth and inserted them into the Constitution by force of will, apparently took the fight out of many, if not most, folks with morals. Now we have resigned ourselves to sexually immoral persons being loud and proud, and a public feature of our society, aggressively flaunting their sexuality in our faces. But having achieved that, calls from the radical left have increased in recent years to add yet another letter to the alphabet soup, that is, the LGBT movement. P stands for pedophile, boys and girls, and we hear familiar arguments being made about the sexual attraction some adults feel towards children. They were born that way. They cannot help it. Love is love. Sexual immorality is a social construct. If you balk, perhaps you are the bigot. Who are we to legislate morality anyway? Jeffrey Epstein died in prison, allegedly by suicide, but nobody believes that. Epstein was almost certainly actually murdered by extremely wealthy, powerful, and well-connected politicians and businessmen who had a vested interest in not being exposed. But remember here what that cabal would have been exposed for. Contracting underage girls for sex through Epstein and his girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell. Flight logs for Epstein's private jet show many familiar names. British royalty, A-list movie stars and recording artists, billionaires, and even a former president of the United States all allegedly visited Pedophile Island. Prostitution is against the law across most of the country. However, sexual intercourse between adults and children, consensual or not, is illegal throughout all of America. Pedophilia is not just illegal, however. It is perhaps the single most stigmatized and detested behavior for which a person can be accused or found guilty. Just ask the inmates at any prison. How do those on the inside convicted of raping children fare? It ain't pretty. So to say that wealthy and powerful persons guilty of this crime do not want to be found out by the American public just yet is a gross understatement. And yet evidence abounds regarding both Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein that many people in elite circles knew full well their misdeeds. The predatory activities of these men were an open secret everyone at the top either participated in or was too afraid to confront. Do not underestimate the power of a guilty conscience or of the instinct for self-preservation, particularly when coupled with a lack of scruples. An Epstein or Weinstein, well-connected, would do anything to protect themselves from prosecution and accountability, including, but not limited to, murder. But more than that, the whole mass of rich men and women and the politically powerful and celebrities who were aware of how these men conducted themselves for many years, they too, at a certain point, have to be considered. In order to look the other way, they had to make excuses for themselves. It was not so bad. These things happened. That is the way the world works. Who were they to say what is right and wrong? They just minded their own business and stayed out of it. Yet now that that cat is out of the bag, they all are known for having been aware and doing nothing. Their instinct for self-preservation kicks in again, and feeling guilty as the broader public has not talked itself into that much moral stupor and apathy just yet, the social engineers and artists and egotists set about to tinker, tweak, and adjust the popular morality yet again, now with predatory behavior and pedophilia the way they did not so long ago with homosexuality and transgenderism. Not only for the sake of their own conscience and doing nothing, though, the standard of what is and is not acceptable sexual behavior must be adjusted, also to pave the way for acquittals, legal and social, for the other rich, famous, and powerful men and women yet to be outed. I came home from work last night, and my 12-year-old son Eli wanted to chat. A 10-year-old girl who lives in our neighborhood had just told him earlier in the day that she is a lesbian. You may be wondering, like I did, how she figured this out. She said, "I don't like boys, so what else does that leave?" But why does a 10-year-old girl think she needs to like anyone whatsoever in that way? She is 10, for crying out loud. These are the times we live in. Sex education in the schools taught kids as young as kindergarten in some places what sex is and that it is okay to experiment. Gender is a social construct. Sex is fun. Girls can be boys. Boys can be girls. Homosexuality is just as valid as heterosexuality. The only semblance of morality remaining in the pedagogy is that if you disagree or express any discomfort whatsoever, you are the problem. You are the bigot. How dare you impose your beliefs about right and wrong on other people? Love is love. And public school teachers like Matthew R.K. take to Twitter. There they openly voice their concerns that parents listening to remote learning lessons amidst this coronavirus panic are going to interfere with their efforts to destabilize alleged homophobia and transphobia. That is to say, parental guidance is feared where it might lead to objections. That is to say, teachers know most parents with children in the public schools are unaware of just how much their children are being indoctrinated, and they need to remain oblivious until the work is at such a stage that it cannot be undone. This is yet another kind of predatory behavior and molestation, and it is systemic. Like many, I was appalled to find out Netflix was featuring the French film Cuties on its platform. Yet it comes as little surprise given the larger trends which I just listed. Barack and Michelle Obama were given a multi-year deal to produce content for Netflix. They pushed the LGBT agenda while in the White House. They continue to push it now. The LGBT movement is working to include pedophiles. It is trying to destigmatize so it can decriminalize adults being sexually attracted to children. They were born that way. They cannot help it. Love is love. You are a bigot if you disagree. Netflix normalizing the sexualization of children for everyone to see is a step in that direction, and we cannot afford to be a part of it, for our own sake and for the sake of our children. These are not the well-intentioned efforts of people who just love everyone and want them to be happy. Rather, these are the deranged efforts by people who care only about gratifying their own wicked desires, even if it means destroying themselves and others. Having lost their own innocence, they now prey on the innocence of others. Having empowered themselves by forcing themselves on others, they do so more and more brazenly to see if anyone will stop them. Such people get a thrill in the gamble and seeing how far they can press before they will be stopped. And if they never stopped, then they get a thrill from having successfully dominated everyone around them. And if they never have to stop, then they get a thrill from having successfully dominated everyone around them. For the love of God and our children, we cannot let this continue. I canceled Netflix, and you should too. And while you're at it, homeschool your children. Do it now before it is too late.